those pesky Padres. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody, to Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Dinger Dan Harris, who lived up true to his name last night with a home run call from Eugenio Suarez, weighing in at somewhere around 87 pounds, and he's 6'5". Dan Harris, ladies and gentlemen, feeling good, and we got a lot of baseball to talk about, but Dinger Dan, back on the board after a slump. Welcome back, my friend.
Feels good. Not gonna lie. It was a long slump, a very long slump. But yeah, a couple here going now. Yeah, I feel like I'm ready to go on a roll. We got to catch Dr. Whatever, you know, just my personal physician over there, just rocking
Dr.
the house.
Dr. Glenn. Isn't that like the worst sounding phony fake doctor?
Whatever.
Like, no. Just call me Dr. Glenn. He's right. Like that guy that's like on it, you know, the middle of the night doing an infomercial for some kind of weird kind of, no, it's not FDA approved, but it could really help with your brain function and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, sure, Dr. Glenn. And I use quotation marks with that. Now, clearly, we've got a lot of baseball to talk about, including a debut of the prospect I've been waiting all season long for. So I'm very excited, as you can tell. And of course, we've got the ups and the downs. So let's start there. Jacob DeGrom, 12th straight start with one earned run or less. It was beautiful to watch. I got to watch in the afternoon a little bit yesterday. It was good times. Enjoyed it. Yu Darvish set a record for fastest to 1,500 strikeouts with 11 Ks and a win against the Dodgers. A big win there for the Padres. The Padres, man, I'm rooting for them so bad. I don't know why. I love the underdog. Not that they're the underdog in their division, but they're not an underdog. I don't know why, but I just want the Padres to beat the Dodgers. I have no stake in this game. I just like it. And Ronald Acuna hits his 20th and has a pretty darn good throw, getting Pete Alonso out there at third. So where do you want to start with the ups today, Dan?
All three are like moonshot ups. I'll go in the order that you mentioned. DeGrom, I am without speech. It's basically what I can say. Like, this is unprecedented. This is preposterous. You take, Pedro Martinez's historic season in whatever that was, 2000 99, whatever year he was absolutely dominant. And DeGrom makes him look like Frankie Montas last night. Like, it's just on a completely different level. And this is the reason why I think no matter what, you just can't sell at anything but 100%. I mean, if someone offered you Ronald Acuna, great. But even with all these nicks and pains and everything he's got going, you just can't get rid of him because he's on just a completely different level. So for him, I just don't even know what to say. Darvish, great to see, just because, again, you've got all these elite pitchers who are suddenly dealing with, you know, subpar performance a little bit, and Darvish just keeps on rolling. He's awesome. I agree with you on the Padres, by the way. And Acuna, I don't know. I mean, Acuna has really, what he's done is he is in a tier among himself, among hitters, right? In the beginning, it was like, Acuna, you took Soto first, right? Overall in TGFBI,
oh, yeah. Remember? I have no regrets about that. I'm a Juan Soto, you know, dork, and that's fine.
No.
Soto's going to at one point get red hot, and everybody's going to go, oh yeah, right, that guy's amazing.
I certainly wasn't criticizing. What I meant is, like, in the beginning, it was like, okay, you had Acuna, you had Soto, you had Betts, you had Trout, you had Tatis. Tatis, only because of the injury, I feel like, is like just a little tiny bit below Acuna, but really, performance-wise, those two guys have just separated themselves from the entire rest of MLB.
Yeah, and Dr. Glenn, we love you. You're a good sport. I see you in here. 2 minutes and already with this. Yes, that's right. Look, your friends make fun of you to your face. Your enemies make fun of you behind your back. Yeah. And by to your face, I mean in front of thousands and thousands of people here on the show on a daily basis. Let's get to the downs, because of course there are downs. Javi Baez, like, he's struggling mightily at the plate, and he carried over there. he forgot how many outs there were. A little embarrassed. The manager took him aside and said, look, I'm pulling you, son. And he did. And, you know, Javi kind of took it the right way, which I give him a lot of credit for. So he turned it down into an up. Very, very magical moment. Of course, then the replacement shortstop went in there and made an error directly after that. I think they called it a hit, though, because it was nonsense. It was absolutely an error. Aaron Civale left to start with a finger issue. This did not look good. And, you know, right now, you're starting to get this feeling that the White Sox are just going to pull away. Like, I'm just getting that feeling from the injuries that the pitching staff, because the one thing you could hang on your hat on if you're an Indians fan is you had the pitching. And then you have the injuries, you know, you have Plesac, you have Bieber, you have Savali now. That's it. When you don't have the pitching, you don't have a chance if you're the Indians in that division. I feel like the White Sox are really going to separate. There's a lot of rumors about Eduardo Escobar maybe coming over there. They've been kicking the tires on him. That would be an interesting addition there. And the sticky searches began yesterday. The sticky icky, looking for it. They searched Jacob deGrom, which was, he had a good reaction to it. And you know what? Hey, good. You know what? If that's what it takes, you want to pat these guys down. It did feel a little awkward, though. It did feel like they were like frisking everybody a little bit. Like, I feel like they should do this. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's a good time to do this, like, before they go take the mound. But then again, I guess they go in the dugout and they just come back with it on there. So if you don't have it in, like, the first inning when they check you, what's to stop you from having it in the third or fourth? But whatever.
Well, they checked you a bunch. They checked everybody multiple times.
Was it multiple? Okay.
It was multiple.
I only saw one.
So it started with DeGrom. That was just happened to be the first day of the game. First game of the day. And I was like, wait, I mean, really? Is that what we're going to do? But I realized they did it to every pitcher, I think. And multiple times in the game, I think maybe at the very least you could say MLB is thinking of the entertainment value because you've basically got guys like stripping down in the middle of, and they don't do it in the dugout, right? They do it like right there on the field. No. I remember, and the first one was DeGrom, and he was like, do you need me to like take off my belt? Or can it? They were like, no, just show it. So,
look in here, big guy. Right. I mean, it's very reminiscent of Frank Drebin in the Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun, just patting down all the guys before they get to home plate. I feel like this is what we're going to. That's true.
That's a good scene. DeGrom has no sticky stuff. Stop it with that. But nobody was caught, obviously. But we did see some subpar performances. But yeah, this is now something where we've gone from, okay, we're cracking down on to we're actually checking everyone right there on the field.
Fine.
Let's go through it. Savali's very weird because, I mean, when they were checking it, I don't know what the injury is right now. All I know is he's going to see a hand specialist. I haven't been able to find anything unless somebody.
It's not a blister. That's not a blister. Immediately, everybody goes blister. Correct. That would have been the best case scenario.
Correct. I thought it was a blister watching it because somebody came out but they were there for a while. Like it wasn't like they looked at it and then they're like, all right, come on out. They were up there for a while looking at it, but now it's just like he's going to see a hand specialist. I agree with you in terms of the White Sox. I mean, you know, the Indians are only two games back. Kudos to them because nobody really. I mean, basically maybe a 500.
You know, team. And I know it's like you're two games back, but you're really like 10 when you look
at this point. Correct.
You know
at
what you point, what correct. Those two teams are. Correct. I think that's the whole point.
And you know, benching Tavi Baez, that takes to me some cojones because he's basically, you know, essentially your best player, your second best player, whatever it is. But it didn't exactly work out.
But he did it in the dugout and he talked to him and he didn't embarrass him. But he didn't like send him out there and then pull him. Like he didn't. He tried to take him aside and say, "Look, you need to clear your head." And you know what? You know he's an ex-player, Ross. So I mean, he gets it. Sometimes guys just, you know, mentally they're taking their bad mojo out there into other spots. So, you know, if you're not hitting, then you're making errors in the field. You make an error in the field, you bring it to the bat, you know, stuff like that. Just the guy needs a break. Yep. We got a huge slate, by the way, to break down MLB tonight. A lot of big pitchers. So make sure you stick around for the end of that. And don't forget to subscribe to Fantasy Pros MLB channel as well on YouTube. So you can watch every morning. I know we've been at 9:30. It's camp week. So just keep an eye out for the start times. But I think it's good because I think those West Coast people are like, hey, give me an extra half hour. Maybe I'll wake up early enough to watch you guys.
Yeah.
Kind of lay around, have some coffee. A few quick notes. Nelson Cruz, representing the old guys, hit his 32nd home run after the age of 40. That is the most ever. So congratulations to Nelson Cruz. You want to take a guess at who he passed?
Hank Aaron?
Hall of Famer? Who played for a long time? No, not actually Hank Aaron.
I got nothing.
Winfield. Dave Winfield. There you go. So how about that? Diamondbacks, congratulations too. They snapped a 17-game losing streak and Torres taking them all out for pizza and ice cream last night right after the game. Good stuff there. Enjoy Chuck E. Cheese, everybody. It was a good time for everybody there. All right, Jacob deGrom was brilliant yesterday. We mentioned that. These are the great performances on the mound. 6 Ks against the Braves in 5 innings, and he was just, I mean, it was just unfair. It looked like he's doing things, and you're sitting there, and like these are major league hitters, and they just have zero chance. We're running out of words to describe it. Ian Anderson, that second game was solid, though. Five innings for him. They picked up the win in the split. Jake Odorizzi, five shutout innings, nine Ks against the O's. I wrote about Odorizzi in the guys you should pick up under 20% that we did on Fantasy Pros last week. Yu Darvish, six innings, one run, 11 Ks against the Dodgers. Manny Machado, 3-for-4 with a dinger and a steal in that same game. And Jonathan India, 3-for-5 with a stolen base. Hitting 333, 459, 529 slash in the month of June at the top of that Reds order. I love it. India's been really solid. It's funny, Dan, because this is another young player. High expectations. Struggled a little bit. If you stuck with him, you got rewarded.
Yeah, he has really been picking it up in June. He's batting leadoff. 333, 459, 522, as you mentioned. So he really is somebody now who I just kind of think that you can roll with him rest of season. He's not a short-term kind of fix that you could basically maybe get by with. He was a huge prospect. He was drafted in the first round. So he is a guy who is just sort of coming into his own right now. And I do think basically everything in the profile right now, at least, suggests a young hitter who's kind of growing into his skin and can probably do this for the rest of the season. I'll mention Odorizzi, Joe, because I think it's a good call by you. Look, I've never been an Odorizzi fan, even in his great 2019, but it is worth, you know, remembering that he was really, really good in 2019. And
innings,
for the most
innings and run support.
Yeah. For the most part, it was backed up. He's got two really solid appearances right now after obviously having the slow start. I think you can throw out last year, which was mostly just an injury plagued shortened season. But look, the Astros right now, again, are basically the best team in baseball with the way they're playing. There's going to be a ton of win equity, assuming that he can go, enough innings there. He went five no-hit innings, you know, yesterday, which they lost a no-hitter, I think, in the eighth. But he, you know, the Astros are basically playing as well as any team in baseball. He is pitching well. The strikeouts are there. Again, it's basically the highest strikeout rate of his career so far. The walks are limited. So right now, really, I mean, I'm not ready to say Odorizzi is a guy who you can stick in the back end of your rotation for the rest of the season. But for now, you absolutely can, especially with that, you know, supporting cast around him, giving him the win equity if he can go long enough to get it. So yeah, Odorizzi is a good call by you to pick him up. He wasn't really on my radar, but I think he should be now.
Well, and look, it was partially because I thought I was going to get a start there against the Orioles, but it was also going back to this idea is who's a live body that's got a history of throwing a lot of innings. Yep. And again, if you got run support, you know, you're going to get maybe some cheap W's in there too. Just, you know, cheap is okay, especially this time of year with all the pitching injuries. Yesterday, the pitching duds, Frankie Montas, eight runs versus the Rangers. Oh, Frankie, it's like the Godfather Part 3. Every time you think it's, you know, you're out, they pull you back in. It's terrible. Frankie Montas, you're killing me. Tyler Molly, he had eight strikeouts, but the four innings, but this is kind of who he is. He's a five inning pitcher.
Yeah.
Julio Urias, I'll take the L on this one. I wanted to go against Yu Darvish. I was specific. I was like, if Tatis is out of the lineup, then I kind of like go any other way. Mm-hmm. Tatis is a monster, man. I just love that guy. He is an animal. So good. But I mean, what do you do with Frankie Montas right now? Cause you can't trade him. Like you just have to sit there and eat it now. Right, Dan?
I'm not that worried. I know people are very mad about Montas and you should be right. You can deal with it.
Cause good again. It seemed like things were going in the right direction. I'm upset.
It's like 10 straight starts where he was really good. So you were like, great, here we go. And then you get the softest matchup out there and just obliterated right from the start, right? Like, oh, first inning, you're down five. The weird thing about the start, Joe, there are a couple of things to note about it. Number one, he gave up five runs in the first. I think he had one out and he had given up five. Then he was basically absolutely dominant for like another five innings. And then with two outs in the sixth, he went single, hit by pitch, home run. And then it's like, oh, you went from basically looking like you were about to have, all right, six runs, five innings, it's bad, it doesn't kill you, and then it's, oh, you gave up eight. His spin rate, as the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks are noting in the comments, we're down, definitely down, so that could be something. I will say that Montas is not a guy who necessarily needs a huge spin rate. Pitches like the splitter, it's something to note, by the way, about spin rate. Pitches like a splitter, for example, that dive, they actually work a little better, and they're usually, the thought process, they are more effective when the spin rate is lower. So the lack of sticky stuff, theoretically shouldn't hurt him, but it was definitely down on the fastball. He seemed a little reluctant to throw the fastball, especially at first. So that might be something to watch. But for the most part, I kind of think that Montas had done enough in the last 10 starts. to basically allow you to give him a mulligan for this one. I know, I understand it hurts.
Well, this start is a microcosm of the season. Terrible. Oh yeah. My God, really good. Terrible. Yeah. And it's really frustrating. Yeah. And I just want everybody to understand that, you know, you're not alone. We're all frustrated with Frankie Montas, but you have no choice because I don't see anybody offering you anything to get out of that business. And if I could, but you can't.
He's a guy who has way more value to you than anybody else in your league because nobody's out there being like, you know who I really feel good about right now? Frankie Montas. So he's a guy who you got to roll with. But Urias, the fact that he has a 3.99 ERA, Joe, I will be honest, that kind of smacked me in the face a little bit. I don't know why.
He's been better than that ERA, first of all, and this start made it go up a little
bit. If you would have asked me, like, okay, after this, what's Urias's ERA? I would have been like, it's probably like 3.4, like maybe.
No,
like
I did the same exact thing you did. It's like, whoa, 3.9. Where'd that happen?
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. And the Padres are tough, but some of the things with him is that his control has been a little, he's sort of relied on the great control. 4 walks on the day that they're cracking down on the sticky stuff makes me a little nervous. And he's been walking multiple guys a bunch. I mean, you look, he's got before the last couple of games, I'm looking at his game log for the last 5. Before that, he had walked 2 batters just in 2 starts of his entire career. Then he walked 2-2-0-2-4. That's something where, you know, since they've been cracking down a little bit on this, the control isn't quite as pristine as we thought. So this is really an interesting sort of development I want to watch closely. But I was shocked, basically, that he's basically pushing a 4 ERA even after the start.
Well, but you're also hitting the point where this is where we were. We're now past the point of last season, right? It was a 2-month season. Everybody made like a dozen starts. We're now in that territory.
Yeah.
So are people having weird fatigue? Are they reacting weird because they're just not there? And then you take the sticky stuff situation, all the other things. There's so many variables now in this pitching season that if you have good pitching, just be grateful. Go make a donation to your favorite charity and do some good karma there that it continues to stay healthy, because this is uncharted territory now. And it's a weird combination of things going on that hopefully we can, like I said, hopefully guys will get over these humps and people will get past the lack of things that they can use, but it is a dicey situation out there right now on the mound.
And it's especially, by the way, for a guy like Urias, who is at 88 innings right now, that's the most innings he has ever thrown in the majors already, right? Yep. So this is a guy, Joe, who, you know, they've always been careful with his innings. And we kind of were like, well, it's the Dodgers. They can do what they want, right? They can, you know, take it easy and move guys in and out and make up injuries. But then you've got May out for the year and you've got David Price, who's kind of ineffective.
And look, Tony Gonsolin just got hurt after he came back.
Tony Gonsolin not looking
Ross
that great.
And in Toronto now.
Yes. in like a dogfight for that division with the Padres, who you expected, but also the Giants, who are suddenly, you know, playing like world beaters out there. So this is a really interesting thing to watch here with the Dodgers as to what they're going to do with their pitchers. And what, on one hand, it's a benefit, right? On one hand, you're like, great, they don't get to phantom injury these guys. They don't get to put them on the IL for no reason. We're going to get some innings out of them. On the other hand, just as you point out, Joe, this is kind of like uncharted waters here. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. So this is something, especially with a guy like Urias, who has not pushed himself this far for all that much, that you got to watch this right now going forward. And again, as you said, get pitching wherever you can get pitching, because that's really going to be a scarce commodity going forward.
Yeah. Jake Odorizzi.
Jake Odorizzi.
He's the prototypical. Like, I'm not excited about this guy, but so what? All right. Injury news and notes. Byron Buxton fractured his left hand after being hit by a pitch.
I feel bad.
He's like the Edgar Allan Poe of baseball players. Yep. I swear to God. It's like, I don't know what sort of weird curse is on Byron Buxton, but I mean, he needs to go see a full voodoo master. Yeah. Maybe go see Dr. Glenn, get some of those.
Dr. Glenn, can you go fix him? I think Dr. it's 4 Glenn. To 6 weeks, probably.
Dr. Glenn. Mr. Buxton's in your office ready to see you. Aaron Civale, we talked about, he's going to definitely miss time, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
So be prepared, start to be aggressive. Adalberto Mondesi, the I in Mondesi, by the way, stands for IL. He's back on the IL. Tommy Lucchese is going to lead Tommy John. Good luck to you, Tommy boy. Eduardo Escobar playing through a minor quad strain. His quad would fall off and he would play through it just to get traded out of Arizona. Jonathan Villar left with calf tightness and Brett Anderson left with knee discomfort. But, you know, This is actually a shorter injury report usually.
It is. Well, there weren't that many games yesterday.
Was like Tommy Lucchese, Joey Lucchese. I said Tommy. It's a Tommy John. I said Tommy Lucchese.
Yeah.
Well, he's Tommy Lucchese now.
which, by the way, I mean, not that it's a huge deal for fantasy, but he was sort of one of these guys, especially though, as we talk about with pitching being so scarce at this point, where Lucchese was suddenly a guy who basically had a sub-2 ERA in his last 5 starts. He figured out that he had been tipping his pitches. He was a guy who at one point with the slurve was a guy that people thought they might be able to rely on. He would have actually been somebody who I would have recommended adding at this point, but unfortunately he's obviously going to be lost for this year, probably next year. So that does stink. It just takes away another maybe arm that you could have gotten by with. So Lucchese probably out for the year.
Look, you come for the baseball, you stay for the literary references. Okay, that's right. This is what we do here. This is our show. I went to Oxford. Let's not forget, people. Okay,
that's right.
Highbrow fella. Even though every now and then I Ron Burgundy something and I say Tommy Lucchese when he has Tommy John. Like, Joey Lucchese, how you doing? Wow. Joey Lucchese. I'm almost positive I had to know a Joey Lucchese growing up somewhere in Brooklyn. Like, there's I went to school with the reason why I'm Joey P is because there was, you know, like a dozen other Joes in Brooklyn, clearly in my neighborhood. But one of the Joes was Joe Saltalamacchia, which, if you recall, there used to be a Jared Saltalamacchia.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
So I'm one of the few people that when I saw that name, I went, oh, Saltalamacchia. And everybody's like, how do you say that name? I was like, I've been saying it since I was 5. Okay, right. So it's pretty easy. All right. Before we get to the DFS, it's very important. This is a public service announcement. If you're very hairy, you need to take care of that. You need to go get that lawnmower 4.0. Enough. Enough putting it off. Enough waiting, okay? You're getting out of control. Take care of your business. And you know what the business is, especially the business around your business. So go to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping today. It's got the lawnmower 4.0, the longest battery life ever, multifunction on-off switch, travel lock, 4000K LED light, 1 through 4 guard lengths. Look, this thing will paint your house. It'll whack the weeds in your front lawn. It'll clean the pool. It'll do the dishes. It does everything for you, and it can be yours with the code leading off. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in that code leading off. I think somebody told me that they got one over the week. They were just like, you know what? I went out and bought one. I saw a tweet about that, and it's good for you. And now you're going to look much better and be much more appealing out there. So take care of your business. Like I said, go to manscaped.com, leading off, 20% off, free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Now, tonight, Dan Harris.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot of big names on the mound here. We haven't talked about the good chalk in a while, so I'm going to talk about it today because there hasn't been much of it. The White Sox are the good chalk. Tyler Anderson has been a hot mess for his last few starts, and I mean hot mess. And he's a lefty going up against some good right-handed bats in that White Sox lineup. Give me Giolito at 10-5 and 9-4 on DK. I know Gerrit Cole's out there at 11K on both sites. I know Zach Wheeler's out there at 11-4. He's just 10-2 on DK. If you want to go with Wheeler, I get that. I want Giolito tonight. That's my guy. Freddy Peralta's also in play as well, even though he's on the road, 9-5 and 10K against Arizona. I don't know if they can win 2 games in a row. I think that's asking a lot. Depends on their hangover from the pizza and ice cream. But how do you see the big pitchers on the board yourself today?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't have I think you can get away with going with any of these guys. I don't have a huge sort of preference among the four that you mentioned. I do think that Giolito is going to be in for a mantra start right now. I just think that the Pirates at this point, they've got a couple of interesting guys in their lineup. Obviously, Hayes is back. Brian Reynolds has been really fantastic for well over a month. But I do think that this is sort of a start where Giolito kind of just puts his foot in the ground and makes this happen. Cole, again, I have no problem with. It's on FanDuel. The fact that he's 500K more expensive than Giolito makes me want to go there. Wheeler, too. Again, there's nothing really to dislike. But again, you're getting the price discount, especially on FanDuel with Giolito. I will take him over those guys. As for Peralta, I don't know. I mean, it's probably unfair, Joe, because he hasn't really done anything to not deserve the status. You know what I mean? But I still just sort of am like, I'll go with the comfort of Giolito here over the, Freddy Peralta, who, again, I'm sure against Diamondbacks will dominate.
And it's on the road. I mean, that's fine. It's fair. I get it. Tyler Anderson, by the way, last 3 starts, 17 innings, 21 hits, 5.71 ERA, 1.38 whip. How you doing? Okay. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go. Let's get those White Sox in there. And let's roll. All right, let's continue on with the rest of these pitchers, too, because we got a few guys that are cheap on DK. Sandy Alcantara, just 8.7. I like him as a secondary arm. Difficult matchup, but, Alcantara is one of these few guys who's actually on pace to throw 200 innings, and he's been very good in the last 3 starts. Tarik Skubal, 6.6, too. Very dirt cheap kind of guy that could possibly give you some good innings tonight as well. When you're looking at offense, it's the White Sox, it's the Astros in Baltimore, it's the Yankees at home. That's what I'm looking for myself. We do have a few four outcome games. First one is a hard pass for me, Charlie Morton versus Stroman. I'm just out. There's just too many other big K pitchers on the mound. But then there's Clayton Kershaw and Blake Snell, who I know you're going to laugh at me, but Blake Snell at home this year has a 1.5 ERA. Yeah. Blake Snell on the road has a 10.5 ERA. And I'm not, and you think I'm joking. I'm not joking. Cause I feel like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. Just trust me. So yep. would you throw in a lineup there at 7.5 and 8.4 with Blake Snell?
Yeah, I would certainly throw in a lineup, not all my lineups. Because especially because again, you have been more heavily into DFS before this season, probably than I. Basically, I took most of last season off with it. I was before that, but you're right. The home road splits are stuff that, for the most part, the casual DFS player doesn't really pay attention to, and I can't imagine there are going to be that many people who are going to be
who's
out there
confident
being like,
against the Dodgers.
You know what I want to do? I want to start Blake Snell against the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw. The ownership percentage is just going to be too low. So I will absolutely have a lineup with Snell in it. I don't feel overly confident despite his numbers at home, of course, but for sure you need at least a lineup with that guy in it because, again, at home, he's been pretty dominant.
Yeah. All right. Lineup builders today on FanDuel. Moncada, 2.8. Andrew Vaughn, 2.2. That allows you to get some other guys in that White Sox lineup. Abraham Toro, 2.1. Wander Franco making his debut. I'm jumping in with both feet, baby. 2.5K. Give me him for 2K on DraftKings. Free square, Wander Franco. How'd they let that happen? J.P. Crawford also has been very good lately. Very quietly at the top of that Seattle order. 2.7 on FanDuel. On DK, Vaughn's cheap too. 3-2. Luke Voit, do we have clarification? He is back tonight.
So every indication is that he will be activated right before tonight's game.
And if so, he is just 2.7 right now on DK. Take advantage of it. First game back, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. He hit a home run over here 10 minutes from my house in Somerset Patriots, which is now their AA affiliate. A friend of mine was there behind home plate, took some video, sent it to me, said, look at Luke Voit. I said, yep, there, he looks pretty good there. So I got to see the whole Luke Voit at bat. So when you have lots of friends, lots of places, right? Jeff McNeil also on his way back, 2.5K, so on DK. So you got some good value there to go up and get all of that. It's time for a home run call. And actually, Juan beat me to it because Juan's out here making my home run call. That's mine, Juan. You can't take this, Juan. It's me. It's Jose Abreu. Let's go. Everybody loves, everybody absolutely just, loves the Jose Abreu against the left-handed pitching. I mean,
it's a good one. By the way, I will give my home run call, but Joe, Mike Mayer's comment, not the last one, but the one above that, that he made, that's probably a good one to address, considering there are some questions, I guess, that we're getting in Discord about something that you mentioned. But you will go with Abreu. That is fine for my, and it's a good one, actually. As I was looking, I can always basically be like, who do I think Joe's going with today? For me, I am going to go with Yordan Alvarez. I believe
he's good yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. He homered yesterday. Let's do it again. Again, Jorge Lopez always has this horrible sort of, tendency to whenever I pick on him in DFS, he somehow puts up a very, very competent start. But I'm going with Alvarez here. For my home run call, let's make it back-to-back days for me.
All right. We'll get to how you all can make home run calls because I saw people asking who want to get in this still. And clear, you could have three in one day and be right on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody joined yesterday, first time, hit a home run too. Congratulations out there. We mentioned Dinger Dan Harris went yard yesterday, so he's up at 7. So Mike put out there, we get a lot of questions about four outcome games, what that means. Here's what it means. It means you can look at it and say, well, tonight, Charlie Morton versus Marcus Stroman. Well, Charlie Morton just threw almost a no-hitter last outing, right? So he could have a great start, but Marcus Stroman could have a great start. Marcus Stroman is a little bit hittable. There's every reason to think that Ronald Acuna and those guys could get to him and all of a sudden. And, the Mets offense is sporadic. Mets pitching very good. You could see Charlie Morton and these guys locking up for six scoreless innings. You could see this being a 6-5 game. There's basically no reason to make an investment in it because it has too many different variables. So that's what a four outcome game means. And that's why you steer away from them, especially when you have options like you do tonight. And as far as people making their home run calls and getting in, Dan, where can everybody go and join us on Discord for free?
You know where it's got to be, fantasybros.com/chat. Again, the home run calls, and you mentioned it, Joe. I mean, we're not yet halfway through the season, but there, Dr. Glenn basically caught up to us, to what we had been doing in 2 months in like 5 days. I mean, so get in there, totally free to play. Obviously, just have some fun.
It's because he's on those illegal drugs that he keeps pushing.
Dr. Glenn.
By the way, it turns out Mike Mayer says Somerset Patriots is 10 minutes from his house.
Yes.
Mike Mayer, do you live around the corner from me? Are we in the same town?
Does. I've never told you guys this, but you guys live very close to each other. And Mike Mayer, there you go. I don't want you guys to get too close. Okay. It's going to make me feel a little, you know, out of the loop.
I think Mike Mayer and I need to go to a ball game and have some fun. Okay. Right. That's what I think.
Whatever.
Me, Mike Mayer, Sparky Lyle, who's like the unofficial official mascot. You got Sparky, the big dog walking around. You and me, Mike Mayer, taking a ball game this summer and take pictures. We'll take selfies and send them to Dan all day.
Fine, whatever.
Maybe you should come take a drive down.
All right, I'm in.
Enjoy a little day for the ball game.
I'm in.
You can get a day to yourself there, maybe, possibly. All right, also want to remind everybody, Shohei Ohtani baseball for free. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. Leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. Take a screenshot. Upload it to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. Submit the form. Just like that, you're entered to win the Ohtani ball and everything else we want to give you for free. We got the home run calls. We got merch on the way. I've heard a lot of great ideas for merch as well. Somebody wanted to tell a picture of Kevin Pillar's face and Joe's Tough Guys, you know, the bandage face.
Nice. I don't
know if we could do that legally. I'm sure Kevin Pillar
probably
would
be like,
awesome. He'd be like, yeah, cool, because that's the kind of guy he is. But we'll take all of that. Dan, any final thoughts for today?
No, I'm glad to have a very... Well, it's funny because I always say no, and then I give a final thought.
That's why I'm laughing. You're like, no, but.
No, by the way, here's my thought. I'm very happy to have a giant slate of baseball today. Whenever it's sort of like you'll get like six games, you just feel like you're missing something. Okay. So let's get it.
Wander Franco, baby.
Let's go. Wander Franco there. Of course, God, we didn't even mention it. Let's go. Yeah.
No, that's going to be all day tomorrow because I know people are sick of everyone saying happy Wander Franco day.
Okay.
And then I almost went the whole show without saying it. So. Happy Wander Franco Day. Yay. We'll see you next time, kids.